Well, good evening. You got your Bibles there open to the book of Romans. I'm going to ask you to leave Romans and turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to come back to Romans at the very end of our time together tonight. But Luke chapter 1 is where we're going to begin and where we're going to start from. It is so good to see you tonight. We have some visitors with us, and we are overjoyed that you've chosen to be here with us as we have an opportunity to worship our God. It is nice in here. It is not so nice out there. I don't know if we ever have an electricity going out problem. I've been in a couple of pulpits where the electricity went out. And I guess I'll just, depending on the light situation, I'll just keep on rolling. So we'll just see how it goes. But I am excited to be here, and I know you are as well. We're going to begin with a story about the famous Scottish poet Robert Burns. And one of his most famous quotes and most famous lines, and you probably will recognize the line, even if you didn't know it comes specifically from Robert Burns. But the line is this: "The best laid schemes of mice and men gang aft aglay." And if you didn't know what that means, as I didn't, I put the translation in there: "They go oft awry." Various versions of this we hear and we talk about often. The best laid schemes or the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. You know, it's an interesting story how he came up with that quote in and of itself. The story is, one day he was out in the field on his tractor and he was getting all of those tractory things done. I'll tell you how many times I've been on a tractor doing tractory things. Zero times doing any tractor, zero times. But Robert Burns was doing tractory things, and he was in the field, and he rolled up upon a den of mice, and half of them got chopped all to pieces, and the other half took off running. In his mind, he once said, those mice in no way knew or planned that this was going to happen today. But it did. And often man falls under that same precipice. That we can have the best plans. We can in our mind say, this is going to happen, or this day is going to go exactly like this, or this week is going to go exactly like this, or this year, or maybe if you're really a pretty big goal setter, my life will go exactly like this. But we know, when it comes to plans for man, often they go awry. Robert Burns made mention of that. Well, this was a Scottish poet, something that was said a long, long time ago. I want to share with you another quote that may hit home a little bit better, certainly for us in this country, the great American philosopher Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson once said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And that is a quote that I like. And especially if you are familiar with Mike Tyson, or certainly familiar with the way that he boxed, when that bell would ring, he would like sprint across the ring, and you would see people who probably had great plans laid out, getting ready for that fight, and nothing going the way that it worked out, because they would oftentimes get punched in the face. But I like that quote because that quote is reality. We often have great plans. We have great ideas. And we think this going to work this way, or this day is going to go this way, or this week is going to go this way, or this school year is going to go this way. And oftentimes, I will dare say most of the time, it doesn't go that way. Something comes up. There's a change that occurs. And sometimes that change is small and not really that big of a deal. But other times the changes can be huge. It's something that all of us have to deal with. The older of us can probably in their mind picture moments in their life when they encountered massive changes, and maybe ones that they in no way expected. Those of us, like me, who are a bit younger, I like to throw myself still into that category, are in the same boat. We have plans, we have ideas, and we have things that we think our life is going to lay out. I will tell you, 20 some odd years ago when I was in college, no way would have been able to tell you that I would be standing right here at the age of 41. No way. My wife will tell you there's definitely no way. She thought when we were getting married, she was marrying an engineer and we would be in Louisville, Kentucky forever. But engineering school wasn't for me. And that's a story for another time. But it was engineering school, much more than my own, I'm sure. But we have these great plans, and oftentimes it doesn't go. How do we handle that? How do we deal with that kind of change? That's what life is. Life, in a lot of ways, is all about change. It's all about curveballs. And if you watch much baseball, some people can hit a good curveball, and others, they just look silly every time a curveball comes their way. And I think sometimes we can be tempted to fall into that as well. So we're going to look at a story in Luke chapter 1. An incredible story that I believe is a great example of one of the biggest curveballs ever thrown to anybody ever before. And there is an incredible lessons given to us in Luke chapter 1 on how to deal with the changes that we oftentimes have to deal with. I'm looking at all these young people sitting up here in the front, and my mind is just racing about how any changes in life you still have to go. Massive changes still coming. I mean, huge changes in life. How are we going to deal with that? Well, we're going to look tonight at Jesus's mother, Mary. A woman who thought she had everything lined up and had a plan, had a great plan, and there was a change, a curveball given. And the way that she handles it is pretty remarkable. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, the story begins with this. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The story is given to us, and it opens up with a woman by the name of Mary. And she had everything lined out in front of her. She knew where she was going to be. She knew who she was going to marry. She knew. She had in her mind exactly how everything was going to line out in the next year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. She's got it all lined out. She's engaged to be married. All of those things are coming together. Mary planning on marriage, God comes. Your plans are changing. Now you're going to have a baby. Tonight I really want you, as best as you can, to put yourself into the shoes of Mary. Because in essence, that's what we're trying to do tonight. Because the way that she handled and dealt with this massive change, this huge curveball that was thrown her way, those are going to be the application points. And so I want you to put yourself there. I want you to put yourself in her place, in her shoes. And I want you to imagine all of the things that she had lined out with her engagement, with her marriage to come. And now an angel comes from God and lets her know, you, Mary, the one engaged to Joseph, you are going to have a baby. How do we deal with changes in our life? Sometimes we may put into our mind, you know, I don't mind when my plans change. I don't mind changes occurring. I just don't like them being changed without my consent. Sometimes we think that way. Or if you give me a heads up of the changes that will be coming, I can plan for those. But that's not the way life works. Sometimes those things are thrust upon us quickly. How is it that we are to deal with those things? I want to encourage all of us tonight, myself included, to never let our plans in this world make us miss God's purpose for us. I'm going to say that one more time, and we'll come back to it at the very end. Never let our plans in this world make us miss God's purpose for us. Mary had all of these plans lined out, but God, He had a very different purpose for her. Now, how does she deal with that? How does she handle that? And how she deals with it and how she handles it are incredible application points for us. And the first one is this. We've got to plan for our plans to change. We've got to know, we've got to understand that these kinds of things are going to happen. And you may ask the question, how do you plan for a life interruption? Even like this, how do you plan for this? I want you to take notice of Mary's response to being told by the angel that she would be having a baby. In Luke chapter 1, after she's been told of what's going to happen, in verse 34, she responds to the angel. She says this, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I don't know a man?'" You know, it's an insightful kind of question from her. How is this going to happen? That's what she's asking. How is this going to happen? Now, you may ask, well, why is this a big deal? Why is this something we need to pay attention to? Well, I'm going to use it in contrast to something else that happens in Luke chapter 1, but much earlier. Something not exactly like this, but something very similar happens to another couple. Not in the same way to Mary and Joseph, but couple, one that Mary is certainly familiar with, Zacharias and Elizabeth, are told by an angel, "You are going to have a baby." And the way that Zacharias handles that and responds to it may sound similar to the way Mary responds, but there is one very important difference. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 18, after Elizabeth and Zacharias are told they're going to have a son, he responds this way. And Zacharias, this is Luke 1 and verse 18, said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." If you're familiar with the story, we don't have time to get into it too deeply, but if you're familiar with the story, because of this response, Zacharias is struck mute for the remainder of that pregnancy. He's told, "You're going to have a baby." And he says, "How can this be? I'm an old man. My wife, she is old." Now that may sound similar to the way Mary responded, but I'll tell you, it's a very different kind of thing. Mary says, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" But Zacharias says, "How can this be? I'm an old guy. My wife is old. This can't happen." In essence, Zacharias is answering after being told, "You are going to have a baby." And Zacharias answers, "Yeah, right." But yet Mary answers, "Yeah, how? How is this going to happen?" Well, how is it that you can plan for plans to change? Well, what we learn from Mary and what unfolds for us in this incredible passage in Luke chapter 1 is that Mary prepares herself for plans to change, planning for that, by number one, steeping herself in Scripture. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 46, Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. And she really, in essence, I don't know a better way to say it, that she composes a poem, in essence, to Elizabeth as she's there talking to her. And every single line is in Scripture. And I want you to think about with me what she says. It is most important. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 46, it says that Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. You see, Mary understood and she knew Scripture so well. She was able to weave them together into this poem. And what really is interesting is that in each and every one of these Scriptures, she understood that there was a common thread, not just here, but even throughout Scripture, of people of God simply having their plans upended. She understood the story of Abraham. She understood the story of Moses. She understood the story of Jeremiah and the other prophets who often had their plans upended. She had prepared herself by being acquainted with Scripture and knowing that ultimately God is the one that's in control. He is the one who plans. So number one, she planned for her plans to change. And so the angel comes to her and she's told, you're going to have a baby. And she says, yeah, but how can that happen since I don't know a man? And then she's told and she's ready to handle these things. Secondly, we learn from Mary is that it's important to prize the unexpected. Because sometimes in the unexpected, there can be incredible blessings. In Luke chapter 2 now. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, there's a passage that we'll talk about how we got there. But in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, the text tells us that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I use the New King James Version. If you use the New American Standard Version, you have that open there at your lap, you would have noticed that it says that Mary kept all these things and treasured them. Treasured all of these things. After all of these crazy changes and all of these things that has occurred, she treasured those things. After Mary has the baby in the way that she does, probably another plan that simply didn't go as was expected. And she's there in Bethlehem, there in the manger with the baby, Jesus. And who barges in on the scene? Shepherds. Nobodies. That's what shepherds were at this time. I mean, shepherds were nobodies. They were out there all by themselves most of the time. They were not a huge influencers of society. They certainly filled an important role, but nobodies. And these shepherds barge in at this most intimate moment of what has just occurred. But in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, as these shepherds have barged in, they let Mary know what has happened. In verse 13, it says that suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The only way Mary was ever to find out about this event were these shepherds barging in on her. And she listens to what they have to say. And then we're told there in verse 19 that she treasured these things in her heart. We mentioned just a moment ago that we've got to be careful not to let our plans miss God's purpose. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the plans that we have laid out for ourselves. And listen, I'll make a very quick aside. This is not a lesson condemning making plans. We've got, absolutely, make plans. It's good. I make plans. I know I'm going to make a plan where I'm going to have dinner tonight. So I've made plans, right? It's good to make plans. But sometimes we could get so wrapped up in those things when something comes up that causes us to miss or to go off our path, we are derailed. And sometimes that thing is a major life shaker. And because of that major life shaker, we ourselves become derailed. And if we allow ourselves to be so derailed from life and from our spiritual walk even, we oftentimes miss what God has in store for us. Mary could have been like that. And she could have shooed away these shepherds. She could have kicked them out the door that they came in, but she doesn't. And she hears this incredible story because she prized the blessing of the unexpected. Thirdly, we learn from Mary is that we need to prepare for God to do the impossible. Prepare for God to do the impossible. I know this may seem like we're jumping a little bit, but I want you to go back to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, beginning there in verse 34, a passage that we've already read, when Mary is responding to the angel after being told she's going to have this baby, look at what she says in 34 now through 37. It says, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I don't know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible.'" I cannot think of a more incredible place. "For with God, nothing is impossible." Oftentimes when there is a massive change in our life, a lot of times possibly in our minds, we picture it as a negative change. Maybe something with our job. Maybe something with our finances. Maybe something with our health or with the health of someone that we love. Maybe as the loss of someone unexpectedly. You see, sometimes we allow what we lose to make us miss what we have left. Sometimes we allow what we lose to make us miss what we have left. You see, Mary in all of this, she was prepared for God to do the impossible. And for us, I think we've got to do the same. And that leads us really to this last point, is that ultimately, Mary understood that in all things, you want to handle change the best way, you put God first. You see, she's told here in 34 through 37 of how this is going to happen and told, listen, with God, nothing is an impossible. And then look at how she responds again in verse 38. That Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You see, Joseph, he had a plan for his life. There's no question about that. Mary had a plan for her life, but God, he had a plan for both of them. And Mary is visited by the angel and told, "You're going to have a baby." And how does she respond? "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." You see, I want you to understand that God's plans are ultimately always plan A. In the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, that text That text says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Again, if you use a New American Standard Version, it even uses the words plans. God's thoughts, His plans for us are what's most important. And then finally, where we began in Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the brethren in Romans chapter 8, in the little bit of what we had read earlier, beginning in verse 3 again, it says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin to the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." You see, here in Romans chapter 8, and certainly all over the New Testament, is that God's plan A for man is to change. That's what God's plan for man is. God's plan for man is to change, and for all of us. If here on this last point that we learn from Mary of putting God first, that we see here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 4 of focusing on not walking according to the flesh, but walking according to the Spirit. When our plans in this life become derailed, when we are thrown a curveball like Mary was, we can handle it in a very similar way. Of understanding where our focus is. Of not focusing here in this world and on this life. When that happens, plans that change in life, topple people. But if we can stay focused on God, if we can stay focused on walking and living according to the Spirit, it won't make a difference, the change that comes along. We will understand that we simply live according to God's purpose and His will. I won't allow this change to have me miss God's purpose or any blessings even that may come along, because I planned for my plans to change. Because that's what life is. What a great example we have right here in Luke chapter 1 of a woman who was given a huge change at a very important time in her life. And the way that she handled it is to be exemplified by each and every one of us. Well, I appreciate you listening so well. It is one of those things that ultimately each and every one of us have to think about, because each and every one of us will be right here at some point. Probably we've been there already, but most certainly we'll be there again. How will we handle it in the future? And when that change comes, I'd encourage you to think about Luke chapter 1 and lean upon Mary's example of how to handle that change. Well, we're going to sing the song of encouragement that Eli is going to lead us in. It is an opportunity for us to think about our place with God. Who's in charge? Who sets the standard and the boundaries of life? Well, it's God. And He has laid out everything for us so that we can have a relationship with Him. And maybe somehow tonight we can help you with that. Maybe you've got questions about some of those things. We'd love to sit down and talk to you about that as well. Maybe there's some other way that we can help you. Let us know by coming to the front as we stand and sing.